That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
The NFL season is winding down, and so are our bold predictions. What will happen this weekend? Ed Cleese and I go at it head-to-head to tell you what we predict will happen in this week's results. And also talk about what we did last week and how we scored. It's all coming up in just a moment with Ed.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Well, my football friends, this is Darren. He's of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to the Big Bold Predictions. Week 17 is coming up in a National Football League season, and we are here with Ed Cleese once again, as we have been all season, to make those picks and take a look at what we did last week with our selections. Ed, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hello, Darren. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's the holiday week and the holiday bowl games, playoff contention is going on. A lot of things going on in the world of football this week.
Yeah, the holidays are always a very busy time in the football world for sure.
Yeah, and it's amazing with everything going on this season. You know, we post a daily timeline of events that happen each day of the year in football. But especially this week, there are some major anniversaries of Hall of Fame legends have been born. You know, Larry Zonka's Christmas Day, Bill Dudley is the 24th, Jack Ham is the 23rd. You know, it's some big names and some big games. Some of the greatest games ever have been played in this week, and we might have some of those come up this week in the pro football world.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny when you do look back on some of that is a reminder that the schedule was so different. Because if you go there, you know, even as recently as the mid to late 80s, Christmas area in that week of Christmas, usually a few days after, a lot of times that's when the wild card games would be being played. Mm-hmm. So, and then you go back in history, like to the longest game in NFL history, the Chiefs Dolphins playoff game, that was played on Christmas Day. So, you know, in the 30, 40 years ago, this time of the year was postseason NFL to go along with the holiday. Of course, that has changed over the years as the season's gotten longer. But yeah, so it used to be even more intense because this is when things were getting really decided.
Yeah, I mean, Immaculate Reception game was a playoff game. That was December 23rd, not that very same day in 1972. The Dolphins, Cowboys came back from a 20-point down to start Roger Staubach's captain comeback bid. Same day, so two of the greatest games in NFL history, same day.
I wouldn't have been able to handle it back then if it was playoffs and Christmas. I would not have been able to handle it. Which is funny because that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk about first today was I want to go a little farther back. I want to go back to May 14th of this year. So okay. May 14th, I'm thinking, why the heck is he talking about May 14th? Well, because in addition to being a complete obvious football nerd, NFL nerd in general, I'm also within the subset of being a football nerd. I am a schedule nerd. Okay, and I love everything about the NFL schedule, about the history of the NFL schedule, and now how it works with like the networks, when games are slotted, et cetera, et cetera. As a kid, this is probably TMI and embarrassing. I used to take my little folders during school, and when I was daydreaming, I would write out Redskins mock schedules for the upcoming season. And I would just doodle them every day. Like, it would be like, oh, on September 12th, we're going to play whoever, you know. And I'd just go through. And I'd always try to see if I was right when the schedule came out. And as I got older, the release of the schedule is twofold now. It's the excitement of seeing the schedule, but it's also like my schedule now gets released. Because as I'm sure you know, as you get older, you have a family, kids, job, all those kind of things. It's not necessarily easy to navigate the NFL schedule to make sure that you're where you need to be to watch the games every week. It is work. You have to put in, you have to plan ahead. You have to do a lot of paying it forward. And, you know, if you're smart and you can kind of figure it out, but you got to be ready. So like May 14th of this past year, the schedule come out. And the one thing I was cringing about and rooting against is I love holiday games, but I do not like when my team plays on the holiday because it throws everything into chaos. And I was like, you know what? The Commanders were good last year. They're in the NFC Championship game. We're going to get scheduled for Thanksgiving or Christmas or something. And boom, that schedule comes out and you see it right away. It was Cowboys, Commanders, Christmas Day, noon Central Time. And I was like, that is terrible because for me, because that is, we go to my in-laws and that is basically every year when things start, you know, we get there, we have lunch right around noon. And then, you know, the whole afternoon is Christmas family stuff. And I was like, oh, so back in May, I started stressing about it and figuring, you know what, oh boy, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to handle this? And my mother-in-law is fantastic. She is, first of all, another supporter of the podcast, by the way, that I've brought along. That's Nancy. You can say hello to Nancy. She asks Hi, Nancy. About you all the time.
Thanks for watching, Nancy.
All right. So she's wonderful, but it's also her day, you know, so I don't want to, you know, I'm wary of how, you know, I've had to play this pretty tight over the years. And you know, this one really was making me nervous. So the way it turns out though, Darren, is, this is the very rare instance now where I truly, in this particular game, I don't care. Now that they are where they are and we're on QB3 and it's white flag time, there's almost nothing to be gained. And it doesn't mean anything for Dallas either. So now I'm in the mode of, ooh, this is brownie points time. Because when I go over and somebody mentions the game, I can be like, oh, no, I'm fine. No. This is, you know, let's focus on the kids.
But if Nancy and the rest of the family's watching, I think you've just divulged your secret. And now
this is the problem, Darren. This is the problem. So this is. Because I yap too much, I'm a little afraid that I'm letting it out of the bag. What I'm banking on is that this is a very busy week for my mother-in-law to get everything ready. And I'm thinking that maybe she'll forget or skip this episode. So that on Thursday, when I am sitting in the chair in the living room, it's the first quarter of the game, but it's not on. And we're just opening presents and talking and having a grand time, that, you know, all of that praise and maturity that everybody will think I'm displaying will roll all the way to me. And I can carry that over perhaps to next year if we run into this issue again.
I'm going to make my first bold prediction of this episode. Yeah, your family's going to call BS on this when you start doing this, and you will be caught. So that's my first prediction.
That's your
two
first
points.
Bold
two predi- points right now.
That's your first bold prediction.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So, but yes, it's funny because so growing up, no, it's Christmas Eve in our family is my mom's thing, and that has been since I've been a little kid. And so my mom can also attest to this, that now this is the first time in my lifetime, and I think the first time in their franchise history, at least in the modern history, that Washington has played on Christmas Day. This has never happened before. But they have played on Christmas Eve multiple times. And I have, especially as a kid and a teenager, that was always very oh boy, what do we do here? Because like my mom wants to get things going like at 3 or 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and then we gotta go to church. And if the game's at 3 o'clock, you know, how am I gonna manage this? And when you're a kid, you're a little out of control of it, right? You're just kind of bound to whatever they do. So my poor mother had to deal with this growing up, and then now my mother-in-law is sucked in as well. But it will not be an issue this year because I have matured, Darren, and I know what Christmas is all about. And that's where my that is
Sure.
where that is where my heart will be on Thursday. And then
All right.
we will anxiously await May, mid-May of 2026, when my schedule for the fall of 2026 will be released to me, and I can start figuring out what I need to stress about and what I don't need to stress about.
Well, I don't have those problems because my family's pretty good. They know I'm a football addict, and I have to get my fix and watch the games. So they're pretty good at the holidays. But I hope you don't suffer what I did went through last year, because my team did play on Christmas Day last year, and I had high expectations going into the game, only to watch Patrick Mahomes ruin my holiday, and
I
just as
do
a.
remember that one. You know, I told the story several weeks ago on Thanksgiving of my terrible experience on Thanksgiving in Dallas in 2002. And that is why I just don't want the team. I don't want my team to play on the holiday. It's too distract. I like the holidays, okay? This
I
is
agree.
I would prefer to not be distracted on Thanksgiving or Christmas or anything. I want to do the family. That's what I want to do. And it's annoying to me if the game is at that time, because then you're like torn. And so I know it ruins the holiday. It's almost like win or lose. It's, you know, because you're not, it's just weird. So I'm always rooting against it, and I feel your pain from last year. And I guess you don't have to worry about it this
No.
year.
But then you think about the team like the Cowboys. They had Thanksgiving, Christmas. Maybe they'll be playing in a Rose Bowl on New Year's Day. Who knows?
Yeah,
What's
really,
going
no
to
kidding.
happen?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, so I guess if you're a Cowboys or Lions fan, that's just part of your DNA and your life, and everybody just knows, you know, that's kind of the deal. And I guess you fold it into whatever you do. But yeah, I'll be rooting against holiday. And you know, with us gonna, you know, we're gonna win 4, maybe 5 games this year, we may be spared from the holiday schedule for next year, potentially, hopefully. This will be it.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one benefit of stinking is they avoid putting you in the primo slots the next year.
Yeah, you might not have to stay up Sunday nights or Monday nights next year.
True. Yeah, I like
Thursday
to get
nights,
it.
you will.
I like a balance this year. I my favorite time slot, because I think it's just because it got established this way as a kid, has always been the Central Time again, the 3:25 Sunday. That's my favorite. That's when I wish we'd play all of our games, because that feels big to me, and I like that particular time slot. But the Commanders this year went over 2 months without playing a noon Central Sunday game, because you know it was all Sunday night, Monday night, and you know, to the detriment of the rest of the league having to watch us, because that coincided with their 8-game losing streak. It was like those 8 weeks were all in a row that we lost them all, and they were all either 3:25 or at night, or they were the one game was in the morning in Madrid. So it was weeks and weeks and weeks between early Sunday starts, and next year I have a feeling we're gonna have a lot more of them.
Yeah, you probably will. Well, looking back at the past, we won't go back and look at last year, but maybe we should look at last week and some of our results from our predictions last week.
Yeah, well, let's start with you, and we'll start also talking about what was just, my goodness, Thursday. Speaking of the schedule, Thursday nights this year have been off the charts good. It's got to be about the best year we've ever had
Yeah.
with Thursday night games, which is, as we all know, can sometimes be very lame and ugly, and sometimes makes you even question whether the package should exist.
I think Jeff Bezos is very happy that it
It's
happened that
been
way.
fantastic, because these not just close games, but like good teams, riveting outcomes, just really fun games. And Sunday nights have been terrible, but Thursday nights have been great. And what a classic on Thursday night! And we're
Oh,
both
yeah.
going to get 2 points for getting the Seahawks beating the Rams in that game. That's as close that is as close to as it gets. And you would have gotten a bonus point had the Seahawks clinched it with their defense. But they really didn't. I mean, their defense wasn't that
Well,
great.
the kick, if you play fantasy, the kick return team is a part of the defense.
That's true.
If
That's
you
true.
get want to get technical, I.
But just, I mean, the 2-point conversion thing was wild. I mean,
Oh
just crazy. And then the fact that it comes down to another 2-point conversion, final play of the game, just really exciting. I will say this. We both had the Seahawks. The Rams are better than the Seahawks. And I felt that way watching that entire game. The better team is the Rams. But it didn't, better team doesn't always win. And now the Seahawks are a couple wins away from winning that division.
yeah. It's very interesting. It's something to watch these next 2 weeks because it's a three horse race now in that division, and any one of them could take it. So it's pretty cool.
And then, so skipping along to another, the next game on the schedule that was amazing is you're going to get 2 points and I'm going to get zero because Darren, my goodness, talk about nailing the Packers Bears outcome. Because not only did you say that the Bears would win, you said that Caleb would lead them to a late win. And that is, from your lips to God's ears, that's exactly what happened.
I have to tell you, I was a little bit nervous because what was there, like 3 minutes left and the Bears were down by 10. I'm like going, oh, this is not going well for my pick here. And to have that everything fall in place like it did, that was kind of cool.
The 2025 Bears are the 2024 Commanders.
Yeah.
They are identical almost, in terms of this, these crazy endings all going the Bears way. Some of which are self-propelled by, making huge plays or taking advantage of good fortune. And a lot of it is sometimes just good for, I mean, obviously
Recovering an
Dobbs.
onside kick. Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
Dobbs has to muff the onside kick or none of it happens, right? If he just falls on it like we see, 9 out of 10 times in the NFL, then the game is over. And the tying score never happens, the winning score never happens. But it did. And so massive credit to a guy that I gave some heck to early in the year. Caleb has gotten way better.
Oh yeah.
And talk about money late there. He was great at the end. He was fantastic.
Especially all his stud receivers are on the bench in the blue tent,
He
that
didn't
was.
have a particularly good game, but you know what? That almost in some ways makes it more impressive to me because that's what you need in the league, right? If you've got trying to figure out if you got the guy at quarterback, right? Every team's trying to figure it out. Is this the guy? Is this the guy? And if you can kind of struggle and it's not a great night, but when you gotta have it, fourth down, overtime, and he dropped dimes. That touchdown pass in overtime is
Oh my gosh, yeah.
spectacular. I mean, that is an incredible throw. So
And
credit to him.
you know who else deserves a lot of credit? Because this dude was gassed. Is DJ Moore, I think is the first name, right? He I mean that dude, like the 2 minute warning, he was gassed. I don't know if he had that one play, he dropped it, and you can just see his tongue's out of his mouth. He's panting, he can't function right. And for him to play the way he did the rest of that game too, to taking a couple of those key passes from Caleb was amazing.
Yeah, and it's not college. So rivalries only matter in the NFL when the games matter. If these two teams haven't played meaningful games in so long that I don't think the rivalry means much, to be perfectly honest. But when you get this, when this happens, and you get two games within a 3-week span where both teams are really good, fighting for the playoffs, really fighting for the Super Bowl, of course, fighting for the division on their way. Both games go down to the wire, kind of chippy. It's cold. Like this is how a rivalry gets rekindled and really starts to matter again because it doesn't take much. And so now I feel like Bears Packers really matters again, and that's cool.
Yeah, it mattered to the fans because there was a lot of back and forth in social media last week before that game, and yeah, it's good to see them both being playing well and playing competitively.
Yep. So we'll go to another game where you're going to get 1 point. You came close to getting the full two, but you said the Patriots would beat the Ravens and they would hold them to 21 or fewer points. The Ravens had 24, and the reason I didn't give you the two there was because it wasn't like, oh, it was a garbage touchdown late or something. The Ravens sort of earned their 24, and wait, they probably should have scored more, to be perfectly honest. but you're going to get one for that because you got the Patriots part correct. And again, similar to Caleb, goodness me, my gosh. It's just really impressive. You know, he threw a pick early. He had a fumble in the middle part of the game. That was a bad play. But then when they needed it, you know, just that fourth down conversion was huge. And then the touchdown pass was just beautiful, spot on, leading him down the field, you know, special stuff from a second year guy. That was a good call by you. Cause I kind of thought the Ravens were going to beat them, and bounce back. And that was a good bounce back for the Patriots off their loss to the Bills.
It might have been a different story if Lamar doesn't run that quarterback draw that he ran and tweak his back. I think that's the play he tweaked his back on, but he looked like he was wincing in some major pain, even walking in the locker room when they showed him.
And honestly, I didn't think that they looked much different with Snoop Huntley out there. Lamar's not right. Something's not right. And I don't know if it's injury or maybe it's because he's been injured so much and he's been in and out so much that there's not, you know, a synchronicity there between him and his receivers or something's not right with Lamar because they don't look normal even when he's in. And then when Huntley came in, I didn't think they looked worse. The offense just kind of did what it had been doing. So it's been a very, very weird year for the Ravens, and it's probably going to end poorly, I would think.
Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. Coach Harbaugh was asked, you know, why didn't he run Derrick Henry a little bit more in the fourth quarter, you know, to take some clock off, get some yardage. You know, Patriots were getting banged up a little bit, you know, from him just punishing them. And his answer was, you know, yeah, you know what, I probably should have, you know, or something to that effect. I'm like, going, really? And I guess from some Ravens fans that I've been talking to, this is like the second or third time this year that same situation's come up and people have asked, you know, why didn't you run Henry? So, you know, Coach Harbaugh, maybe keep Henry running the ball.
Yeah, especially, you know, because their offense has struggled to move it through the air this year and they were having success with Henry. Yeah, it seems a little silly to get away from it. That you're going to get a zero. You had you thought that Todd Bowles' profanity-laced tirade last week after the game would fuel his team to a rebound win in Carolina. And he might want to try it again because it didn't work last week. And that is like the eighth game in the row. I think it was seventh or eighth. I'll have to look it up, that the Bucs have not covered the spread. And again, that doesn't necessarily matter, but it kind of does because it means that you're consistently, you know, coming up short of even where the mean is, you know, on what people think. And so after their really, really good start, and it's funny because their offense is healthy now, healthier than they were early in the year. But they don't look very good. Their defense really can't stop anybody. That wasn't an overly impressive game from the Panthers. They just kind of showed up, made a couple plays. Bucks kind of couldn't get out of their own way. So you get a zero on that one.
Yeah. I took that one on the chin.
And then another zero you're going to get that kind of made me mad because I was rooting for you. I told you this last week was you had Rivers and the Colts upsetting the 49ers. And it's very rare that I get upset at watching a game that doesn't involve Washington. But I was getting mad at the Colts defense because they were robbing us all of this amazing story because Rivers was great. That was so fun to watch. They were moving the ball. He's, you know, they're doing a good job on the broadcast of explaining why, how he's moving the ball with his checks and all the pre-snap stuff that he does. And, you know, sort of beating the 49ers almost exclusively with his brain because the dude can't throw the football. I mean, it's awful. It looks like it takes 4.5 minutes to get to the receiver every time he throws it. It's unbelievable. And he can't move at all, like at all. I mean, he never really could, but now he really can't. So you have this quarterback who can't move and can't throw. And he's moving the ball easily in an NFL game. So it's just like this amazing, crazy, like Disney story. I saw a picture of Purdy next to Rivers, and somebody said, this looks like a cheesy, cringy Disney Plus movie where a father and son play each other in the Super Bowl. like it, and it really was. So it was this fun moment. Rivers is kind of doing this Disney thing, and the Colts defense just would not help at all.
At one point, was at the end of the third quarter, it was a 27-34 or something like that.
Yes,
I thought maybe, okay, play some defense now. You know, Rivers one will stop. get that stop, and you know, Colts get back in the game. And yeah, they do not look like they play the way they played defense the beginning of the year, the first eight games or so.
No,
we were playing much better.
No, and yeah, that was disappointing because they robbed us all of a cool story. It would have been awesome had the game come down to like Rivers has one last drive or something. And you know, that would have been really cool, but the Colts defense just wasn't going to allow it to happen. Unfortunately, credit the 49ers and Purdy. They were fantastic. Kyle Shanahan, goodness, man, the Shanahans, he and his dad, I think you can definitely argue are the greatest minds in the history of the sport of football in terms of game planning, the run game. Specifically, it's remarkable. It's unstoppable when they get going, and credit the Niners, but that was very frustrating for the Colts, to watch that and rob us all of what would have been a cool story and robbed you of 2 points. So you're going to get zero there. That gives you five for the week and puts you up at 72. So let's see how I did. We already know I got 2 zeros, because, I was, opposite you. I'm sorry, 1-0. I was opposite you with the Packers. So we knew that was a zero. And I got the 2 for the Seahawks game that we mentioned. So my other 3 picks, I said that the Eagles would beat the Commanders by getting a stop late in the fourth quarter. And if Mariota doesn't get hurt, I think there's a chance that we get there because we were winning that game 10-7 with 4 minutes left to go in the third quarter. So we were definitely hanging tough. And hanging in there, and then Mariota got hurt, and it was wheels off from there. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, so I get a zero on that. I'm also going to get a zero. I missed badly on this one. I really thought that Dak and the Cowboys I thought they were going to beat the Chargers. And I kind of thought the fact that they got eliminated from the playoffs the day before would almost help because now it's like, oh, well, you know, there's no pressure. But they got smoked. They got smoked. Chargers are just way better. I should have seen that coming. That was a miss by me. Chargers are just way, way better than Dallas, and they ran up and down the field on them all day long.
I thought you might have a chance though because of the game that the Chargers just came off of the week before. You know, that was took a lot out of you to them because that was an exciting game, and you know maybe just a little bit of a downer, you know, coming into this game against Dallas. But you know, they look pretty good.
That was my reasoning, and you'd think at my age and all the years I've watched football that I would be smarter than to always rely on these weird anecdotal reasons for making my picks, like, oh, they traveled, or they came off a hard-fought win, or the coach went on a tirade, you know what I mean? Like, all these different things. And sometimes maybe you just need to look at, well, who's better? Like, you know what I mean? It's, you know what? The Dallas defense isn't that good. Herbert's awesome. Harbaugh's career, his teams generally get better late in the year. So maybe I should just look at things that actually matter when making my picks. Maybe that would help. So that was a zero for me. And I also got a zero for your boys. Because this is a good one to end on because, oh my gosh. Now, I was rooting for the Lions because I made the pick. And I also had some other picks and contests where I had the Lions. I have a bet that they're going to make the playoffs with someone. So, you know, I had a lot of things going on, the reasons through for the Lions. But goodness gracious, that offensive pass interference call on St. Brown, which I think was probably legitimate, boy, that robbed us of what would have been the most amazing final play in history, maybe.
I don't think it would have, though. Okay, and hear me out on this. First of all, Lions fans that are complaining that they called OPI, well, they called it against Darnell Washington and took a Steelers touchdown off earlier in the game too. So they were calling pretty consistently all game. But that last play, if there's no pass interference on St. Brown, if he catches that ball at the 1 yard line, he's driven back to the 5 before he flips it up. I would argue that the progress was stopped and he should have been stopped at the 1 yard line. Game would have been over anyway.
There's no argument, Darren. He was stopped, but that's what would have made it amazing, is because the controversy that would have, they didn't blow the whistle. So if they don't call OPI there, that's going to be a touchdown. Okay. They didn't blow the whistle. So, and they even said it's a touchdown on the field, but it's eliminated by the OPI. So that's what would have made it amazing, is that would have been a touchdown and it would have been crazy. And the Steelers fans would have been completely up in arms, and rightfully so, because he is completely stopped. It is not a gray area. That is, they always blow the whistle dead there. Okay. I almost wonder in that situation if one ref kind of thought the other ref blew the whistle, but that ref didn't blow the whistle. It's almost like the ref thought the play was over, but nobody actually blew the whistle. Next thing you know, Goff's flying into the end zone because the Steelers stopped too. So it's a shame that the flags came out. Not for you, of course, but it would have been lore. It would have been the play where the lateral and the no progress, and it would have been like the Immaculate Reception. It would have been crazy, like the ending there. But
I think that pass interference on St. Brown was, there's no doubt about it, was offensive pass interference on that one.
I think the one
before that, a couple plays earlier, that one was a little questionable.
Yeah, I think you got to call it, because he extends his arm, and it was Ramsey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And Ramsey, whether he meant to or not, does a good job of selling it because he kind of falls back. So Ramsey going back coincides with St. Brown extending his arm, which, whether it is or not, certainly makes it look like it's OPI. And so I think you kind of got to throw the flag there if you're the ref. I don't think that was a bad call. I think that was pretty good. I think it was a fair ending, that the Steelers played good defense on the play. All right. So they got the stop. They earned, because even if they don't call the OPI, like you said, they actually did stop them short. They should have called it for progress up. So there was justice in the outcome. But it stinks that it had to end with the yellow flag and a, you know, 4.5 hour zebra conference before they figured out what the heck was going on. But it's funny though, because good, bad, or indifferent, moments like that are why people watch the NFL. Okay. That's what, you know, my whole family was sitting around and we're all kind of, what's going on? You know, everybody's sort of engaged at that moment. And those kind of moments and calls and the refs involved, lateral, it's a flag, you know, that's cool. And it kind of keeps the NFL machine a churning with results like that.
That and a guy with blue tinsel hair.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So much happening. But that could wind up being problematic for the Steelers potentially. Maybe not. They might be in the clear. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that gives me, I only scored 2 points for the week, only earned 2 points for the week, which gives me 73, which again, so we're right back where we were, man. Yeah. You've made up some ground again. So I've got a one point lead, 73 right. to 72. And so now on to this holiday week of games. And I think it's your turn, right?
No, it's your pick.
My turn.
First. Yeah,
all right.
Pick first.
Well, like I've mentioned many times, I'm also a big NBA fan. And this is one week where it's going to be, and we're Thunder fans, and they play on Christmas as well. And this is going to be one instance where I think the NBA might gain a few more viewers. The NFL is still going to win the day, of course. But because these Christmas games are bad. All three of them are bad. You've got three third-string quarterbacks starting on Christmas Day in different games. So all three games highlight at least one third-string quarterback. You got Josh Johnson for the Commanders. You're going to get Brosmer for the Vikings.
Mark Rippon was starting for the
– Oh, maybe Commanders. He is. I don't know.
They called him out of retirement. Or Doug Williams.
Yeah, he might as well. He might as well. So –
I think him and Johnson are the same age, aren't they?
Yeah, really. Yeah, so you got Johnson at 39 starting for Washington, who can't play. And then you've got Brosmer, who's, you know, 19 or however old he is, and he can't play. And then, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon or Carissa Ludicon or whatever the kid's name is for the Chiefs is starting that night. And I don't know if he can play or not, but, you know.
That's Olakum. He's a former Steeler.
Olakum. Okay. Olakuma. Olajuwon.
Chris Olakum. Yeah.
Olakum. Okay. So he's starting for the Chiefs. So nothing is bold about picking any of the winners in those games, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to package them. And I'm going to say that it's going to be chalk on Christmas Day. All three favorites win, and all three favorites handle their business fairly easily. That would be the Cowboys, the Lions, and the Broncos. All three got a hit in order for me to earn the points. But okay. Yeah, I'm packaging.
So how can you even earn a point?
Probably not because I'm making individually. So
you're all in on these three games for your two.
Yeah, because individually, okay. None of these games are the opposite of bold. Obviously, picking against these quarterbacks. So I figured all three got to go my way.
So, yeah, but that's all right. Interesting. That is bold. Definitely
there
bold.
You go, all three. Yep.
You know, it's hard to tell what's going to happen.
Once you see these guys play, you might not think it's so bold anymore.
Well, I stayed away from the Christmas games because I didn't like them. And I, like you said, I don't know that I'm even interested in them at all because there is nothing interesting going on with them.
Right.
Unless you have a family member playing or something. But I did like a Saturday game in particular. And I like the Texans and the Chargers game. I think this one is even though they're not in the same division, they are playing for something that means something and matters. And it, you know, whoever loses that, you know, they suffer a little bit. Maybe they're not out of the playoffs, but maybe it changes their pole position in the playoff brackets. And I like the Texans in this game because I think the Chargers, you know, I'm going to probably go against everything you just said. Don't go by feel. And Harbaugh has great teams play well at the end of the season. But I believe in the Texans. I love their pass rush. I love their defense. And I think their offense is coming into its own a little bit. And the Chargers are still banged up a little bit. I take the Texans by 10 or more over the Chargers on Saturday.
That is crazy bold, Darren. Because that's you're picking the underdog to win the game by 10 or more. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's big. Okay. I'm just totally flip a coin on that one. So I don't have it on my list. It's a fun game. And I think if I'm understanding correctly, and I think it's really the only way that works, the Texans are not out of the woods at all because if they lose and the Colts beat the Jags, then week 18, I think, is Texans Colts for the playoff spot. So they are not, they're only two results away from being on the edge. So, like you said, I think both teams will be, and the Chargers win the division. So I think they're absolutely both going to go full throttle. I just don't have a feel for it. I really don't. I'd probably flip a coin and say Chargers, but I don't really have a good feel for that game at all. So we'll see if you're right. I will move on to, let's see here. I'm going to Sunday, and I think that Seattle, coming off their win, and they get the nice benefit of the extra rest. And they, you know, sometimes that west to east travel, they're going to Carolina. People talk about that as being a negative, especially the early start. I don't think it's going to matter much. I think Seattle goes into Carolina and rolls the Panthers by 10 or more. Because Seattle's nowhere close to even clinching the division yet. They've got to have it still. So I'm picking them to beat up on the Panthers, who I think are playing admirably, but also a little bit above their heads.
All right. I like that pick. I also chose to look at that game real close. And I also have the Seahawks winning the game. But here's where I'm going to get my 1 point back on you because I think we're both going to win that game. But I'm saying the Seahawks are going to hold the Panthers to 20 points or less in this game.
Okay, Seahawks, 20 or less. Okay. All right. Well, we'll see which one of us is more right. Well, what happens if they win by 10 or more and hold them to 20 or less? Then I guess we both get it.
Yeah, I guess we both have two.
All right.
If it's a 20-10 game or something, then yep. We both win.
Perfect. So this is one of those that I may or may not actually believe in, but I think it's fun. And I think the Steelers are going to miss Mr. Metcalf on Sunday, and they are going to lose in Cleveland to the Browns, who will always play the Steelers tough, as you've mentioned many times. Steelers have been teetering a little bit, on the edge a little bit, but I think the Browns get it done. Now, what's interesting about that is it may or may not matter for the Steelers by the time the game kicks off, which is a little bit of a benefit to me because, you know, maybe it won't even matter by then and picking the Browns to win won't be that bold. But I'm saying that the Browns beat the Steelers on Sunday.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
With no caveats.
Just straight up the underdog wins at home. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about that in a second. I didn't pick that game, but I'm going to comment on that in a second because what you talked about, you alluded to, is the other Saturday game, which I did pick because this game may affect that Steelers-Browns game. I have the Packers are going to put the Ravens out of playoff contention on Saturday. And I don't care which quarterback plays. It could be Jordan Love could be back. You know, he's in concussion protocol. Malik Willis, you know, he's got a shoulder ACL sprain or something. You know, he could or could not play. Or they could have their third string guy that I don't even know if he's even on the roster right now. Maybe he's pulling somebody out of the bleachers to play. But I think it doesn't matter. I think you've called it a bunch of times. Something's wrong with the Ravens. I don't even know if Lamar's going to play or Huntley. You know, he's played well, but I think the Packers are just a better team, and that means more to them right now, even though the Ravens are hanging by their toenails. I think they have a 7% chance of making the playoffs or some crazy number like that. That still could happen because they do play the Steelers in week 18. But I think the Packers win that game without any caveats. But to comment on your game, I'm not so sure that even after the Packers eliminate the Ravens and it doesn't matter to the Steelers and Rodgers doesn't play, I have a feeling Steelers are going to start Will Howard, Ohio State's national champion quarterback from last year, who did not play at all in the preseason, was injured most of the season during the preseason. The Steelers haven't seen him except in practice, and I think they're going to get two opportunities against Cleveland and against Baltimore in games that don't matter to see what this guy can do. I don't think Rudolph will start. I think they're going to mothball Rodgers till the playoff time and get him healthy and get some other guys healthy. And they don't need DK. They got some other wide receivers. And I think Will Howard guides the Steelers to beat the Browns, but it's not one of my picks. That's just my gut feel.
Gotcha. I would be surprised if they wound up starting Howard because they have to plan to start Rodgers. So as of Saturday afternoon, they have to still be planning to start Rodgers. And I think it would be a little odd to then just be like, oh, sorry, Aaron, you're not playing tomorrow now. That doesn't matter. You know, so I think and I think there's a thing, you know, coaches always talk about, you know, reps versus rest and rust versus rest. And I wouldn't expect them to play him in week 18 if they're clinched. But sometimes sitting out for 2 weeks, especially because I think Rodgers would probably ask them not to do that. So my guess is that Rodgers would at least start on Sunday, even if the game doesn't matter. Then maybe they yank him, maybe they take him out early or something. But I'd be a little surprised if they just pulled the hook on it, even if the things go their way in Lambeau. Which I tend to, by the way, I tend to agree with you on that. I think the Packers are going to put Baltimore out of their misery. But I'm staying on Sunday. I'm going to Sunday night, and I am going to say, God, let's just keep this going. So Bears fans, stand up and cheer, because here comes another pick where me, I'm picking against your team where I've been wrong literally pretty much all year long. So I am picking the Niners to beat the Bears by 7 or more. I think the Bears, having clinched now, can relax a little bit. It's not a massive game for them. Obviously, they're still chasing the division, and they can still, you know, seeding. But it's really, you know, in a lot of ways, the Bears have probably accomplished their goal. And it looks like the Niners are rolling. Now, I know they're kind of banged up. Kittle got hurt again. But I think, you know, I've seen this Shanahan story before, right? When the 49ers kind of get moving, they got the division in their sights. They got Seattle in the last week of the season. They can absolutely still win the division. So I think they're going to be all in Sunday night, and they're going to win that game relatively easily.
I also chose that game, and I picked very similar to you. I said the Niners are going to roll the Bears because it means more to the Niners than it does to the Bears, even though they both would love to win it. And, you know, they may meet in the playoffs and, you know, a week or two after that game, you know, who knows? Or I guess more than a week. But I do think of the caveat I am going to put on this game is that the Niners are going to win it with some defense, as they're going to produce three turnovers against the Bears offense, who doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot. That's why it's a bold prediction.
Got it. All right. So my last pick of the week, I'm going to Monday night. This is maybe not crazy bold, but I think the Rams are just going to completely take care of the Falcons. They're going to win that game by double digits. They're so much better than Atlanta. And that's going to be a no-brainer. It's going to be over at halftime. McVay's going to have them ready. And they will stay in the NFC West race with an easy Monday night victory.
All right. That definitely, if our predictions hold up, you have Seattle, the Rams, and 49ers all winning. That takes it down to week 18. And boy, is that going to be some fireworks on that week. Be a lot of fun that happens. So that might be fun just for that effect as a fan. I did not pick that game because it's another yawner. And I don't know. I don't see an upset in there. But I did go to another big boy pants game here, the Bills and the Eagles. This game means something to both these teams. The Bills will host the Eagles in Highmark, one of the last regular season game, I think, maybe in Highmark Stadium. I'm not sure if they'll have any next year in that one. It'll be in the new Highmark. But it's going to be a defensive battle. These teams are their offenses of – been suspect at times, but their defenses have really risen to the occasion when they had to. And I think that's going to be really true this week. As this might even be, some say this may be a preview of the Super Bowl, the Bills and the Eagles. Who knows? You know, they both are capable of doing it. But I think the Bills are going to win this game, but I would bet the under on this game because there's going to be less than 44 points scored in this game. I think the over under is like 43.5 to 45.5. I safely think they will be under 44 points because of playing some strong D.
Yep, I can see that. And again, with the Eagles, they are very close to being locked into that 3 seed already. I don't know. I don't know how much that matters. Meaning, I don't think that they're necessarily going to give a worse effort because they're kind of locked into their spot. So I don't think that's that big of a deal. But yeah, I think you're about right. The Eagles offense has been so, I wouldn't even say inconsistent. It's just been bad, you know. So, and the Bills defense has not been particularly good. They struggled to slow the Browns down for a lot of the game last week. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, if the Eagles are not able to move the ball on Sunday in Buffalo, then it really starts to illustrate their problems on offense. But I would tend to agree. I think it's probably going to be a lower scoring game. The Philly defense is really good. And I kind of had a small lean to Buffalo winning as well. So I don't oppose you on that one.
All right. Well, it should be interesting, not only for our picks and our interpersonal battle here for supremacy of bold predictions, but for the NFL and what's going to happen in the playoffs and those last few lingering spots in the playoffs or pole position in the playoffs on both the AFC and NFC. Will definitely be helped to be determined this weekend and might shape up for a great week 18.
Should be. Merry Christmas to you, Darren.
Merry Christmas to you, Ed, and have a good one, and we will talk to you next week.
See ya.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history.
we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud.
Welcome to the place where history's proud. From gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars, it's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Thimmick, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive. Podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high. From Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome, if it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.